Mr. Fletcher.
Mr. Chief Justice, and may it please the Court, in this morning's first case, you will decide what principles should guide a district court's award of attorney's fees under Section 285. Whatever standard you choose to adopt in that case, we believe that a district court's application to the particular facts of a case before it ought to be reviewed under a unitary abuse of discretion standard. That approach is consistent with this Court's repeated statements that decisions about the supervision of litigation ought to be reviewed under a deferential standard. And in this particular context, it's also supported by the text and history of Section 285, by 60 years of consistent appellate practice, and by the same sorts of practical considerations that led this Court to adopt a similar approach to very similar questions in Pierce and in Cooter and Gelb. I'd like to start, if I could, by focusing on a point that hasn't come up so far in the argument, which is we've heard a lot about why district courts are best situated to make the determination in a particular case that they've lived with often for years at a time of whether or not a particular litigating position is unreasonable. And we think that's true and a very good reason to accord deference here. But we think another good reason to accord deference in this context is that applying de novo review requires a substantial expenditure of appellate resources. I think this case is a good example. The Federal Circuit affirmed the district court's decision on the merits in an unpublished decision and, in fact, without written opinion. But when it reviewed the district court's award of fees under a de novo standard, it was required to engage in a lengthy analysis that produced a lengthy written opinion. And we think applying a de novo standard and requiring appellate courts, and the Federal Circuit in particular, to engage in that kind of review encourages collateral appeals and encourages the expenditure of resources on decisions that don't actually produce the
law. But you can make that argument with respect to every legal issue that's raised on appeal. Well, if you have to decide whether the lower court was right, that's a lot of work. But if all you have to decide is whether the lower court abused its discretion in deciding that the law means what the lower court said it means, that's a lot less work. Well, that argument is a strange argument, unless there's something really special about the attorney's fees context. And I guess that's your argument. There's something really special. But why should it? When you've got a lot of money involved, why should we say this is collateral litigation, even though it involves millions of dollars, more than the claim in many other types of cases?
So let me say a couple of things about that. And one is, I think ordinarily when an appellate court applies a de novo standard and determines what the right answer is, that has benefits not just for the particular litigants before it, but also in clarifying the law for everyone going forward. But what the court said in Pierce and in Cooter and Gell, and what's also true here, is that when the question that the appellate court is answering is not what is the law actually, but rather what could a party, when it initiated this case and continued to litigate it several years ago, could that party have reasonably believed the law to be, that doesn't yield the same sort of law clarifying benefit. In fact, in Pierce, this court said those sorts of determinations are never going to be made clear under any sort of
It can standard. Clarify the law. What's the difference between that situation and, let's say, deciding an issue of qualified immunity in a civil rights case or applying the applying AEDPA in a habeas case? The court can say this is what the law is, and then after that is the second step, determine whether a particular interpretation of the law was reasonable. You could do the same thing here.
A court could do that here, and I suppose the Federal Circuit, if the case came to it on the question, was the district court, did it abuse its discretion or did it get it right in deciding that the party's position was unreasonable, Federal Circuit could decide the underlying question itself and then decide whether or not the district court was correct in concluding that a party's position was reasonable or unreasonable. But we think there's good reason not to do that here, and we think that in these contexts, unlike in qualified immunity, unlike in AEDPA, the district court has particular expertise in the case and a long experience with the case, and that requiring the Federal Circuit to engage in a thorough review of the entire record of the litigation and the entire proceedings of the litigation imposes a burden that just isn't justified.
Well, I'm just wondering, if you put together your two arguments about what the standard should be and what the standard of review should be, whether there really is going to be any meaningful review of what district courts do in this situation. Maybe you could just describe for me what an appellate decision would look like saying that applying the totality of the circumstances, the district court abused its discretion in awarding or not awarding fees. What would an appellate court say?
So I think one thing that an appellate court might say, as Justice Kagan alluded to earlier, is that if the district court has based its fee award on a misunderstanding of the law, if it got the claim construction wrong, if it misinterpreted the relevant patent statutes, that would obviously be an abuse of discretion. But I think even if the district court correctly conceived of the law, abuse of discretion review still leaves room for an appellate court to say that although the district court had a wide range of options and has flexibility, this particular decision on these particular facts strays too far from that range. I think courts of appeals do that in the sentencing context. They do that in other contexts where they review district court decisions for abuse of discretion. And we think that performing that role, which abuse of discretion review comfortably accommodates, leaves plenty of room for the Federal Circuit to rein in any outlier district court decisions. I think another point that's useful to keep in mind is the extent to which applying a de novo standard of review encourages collateral appeals. I think a theme of this Court's decisions about attorneys' fees has been that a dispute over fees should not give rise to a second major litigation. And I think applying a de novo standard encourages that, both in encouraging parties to take marginal appeals and also in leading to fights about which parts of the district court's decision are factual, which parts are legal, which standard of review applies to different parts of a district court's decision. I think all of those things are add to the burden of the collateral fee litigation in a way that isn't justified by the benefit that de novo review provides. The last point that I think I'd like to leave you with is the notion that I think there, Justice Alito, earlier you suggested that the Federal Circuit has expertise in patent law and special expertise in patent law, and I frankly think that's the strongest argument that the other side has. But I'd urge you to look at Judge Moore's dissent from the denial of rehearing en banc in this case, where she and four of her colleagues on the Federal Circuit explained that when you're asking whether or not a party's litigating position was objectively reasonable, the Federal Circuit's expertise in patent law actually isn't the relevant expertise. And she explains at length, and she cites a number of prior Federal Circuit decisions, recognizing as well that the district court who's lived with the case and who's decided on the merits and who's seen the parties and has spent sometimes years with the parties is really in a better position to decide whether or not the party's litigating position was reasonable. For that reason, if the Court has no further questions, we'd urge it to vacate the judgment below and remand the case to the Court of Appeals with instructions to consider the district court's award of fees under the correct standard. Thank you.
Thank you, counsel.